Hello, and welcome to the first ever episode of Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And today I'm by myself on my own couch in Greenville, North Carolina, home of the Mr. Beast Empire, and also where I've been living for the past almost 2 years now, and am now actively trying to escape via podcast. So today I'm going to be talking about how I got here, how I ended up in Beastland, my experiences here, my thoughts on Mr. Beast, the company, and Mr. Beast, the person, the stories that I have that are so insane and so unreal that I don't even believe them myself, and I was there. We're going to be getting into the good, the bad, the beastly, all of it. But first, I want to say, if you are a content creator, or just anyone who is semi-interesting and can hold a microphone, and you have a couch that I can sleep on, please let me come over. Please. I won't pay you, and I will just exploit you for content and steal a few of your personal items and sell them online, but it'll be fun, and maybe I'll do the dishes once or twice. So yeah, please invite me over. Let's hang out. Let's have a sleepover. It'll be awesome. Please, thanks. The success of this podcast kind of relies on that. I'm really excited to see where this podcast takes me. I think it's going to be so much fun. I think that this episode is a lot of fun. There were a lot of stories and things that I just couldn't tell you for so long that I now finally can, because I am burning this bridge and running as far away as possible. So it's a little bit scary and a little bit serious at some points, because a lot of this is seriously really scary for me, and I'm really seriously scared of Mr. Beast and all the things that they're doing. But I think that this episode is interesting, and I think you're going to like it. So enjoy. This is going to be a doozy. It's a hard... A doozy? Do you like this podcast so far? What do you think? What about the part where I said doozy? Because I could cut that out. Right now I'm currently in my house in Greenville, North Carolina. Greenville, North Carolina is the home of Mr. Beast. There's basically an entire economy running just off of that YouTube channel in the town around me. Everything is the Mr. Beast channel is the center of this town. Now it's all falling apart. It's all falling in on itself. Who could have ever thought, who could have ever thought that there was something a little bit off with that Mr. Beast guy, and that there might be a little bit something to come out about him? We all thought that. Yeah, I thought that too. Okay, I'm just making sure that I wasn't being, because I felt a little judgmental, you know. I got asked to move here and I was like, well, this can't end well, but it'll start off nice. And that's exactly what happened. And now I don't feel as bad for thinking that. So today I'm going to be getting into, my move to Beastland, why I'm here. I'm going to try to figure out why I'm here. I'm going to talk about some of the craziest things that I've seen here. I'm not going to be doing an expose. That's not what this is. If you want that, go watch Rosanna Pansino. I mean, every single day she is ruining these guys' lives. What a trooper. I don't want to say anything bad about her, or else she's going to report me to the FBI, because apparently that's what she does. All right. And you know what? You know what? If I lost hide and seek, I'd be mad too. Basically, I mean, if you've seen the news, it's been on the New York Times, the BBC, the Pop Crave, you know, all of the reliable sources that we go as American citizens to get our news from. Mr. Beast is in some hot water. And by proxy, that put me in some hot water. Long story short, and then we'll get into the short story long. I moved here when I was 18, and I became, my friend group became, you know, the people that you see in Shopify ads, the Mr. Beast crew. Leaving Greenville, it feels like a bit of like a, they've kind of trapped me here a little bit. Not really, but I haven't really been made to feel comfortable enough to be like, yo, by the way, I disagree with all the things that you guys are doing and I'm out of here. And then that not go terribly for me. You know, what was internet drama for one was in real life trauma for another. First, I want to get closure, because I never really got to you know, tell Jimmy the things that I feel and feel, I don't know. I don't need his permission to leave, but you know, when you're in this industry, if you do something that upsets someone, especially someone with as much power and as much of an ego as, you know, Mr. Beast, it's going to burn some bridges. And, I just want to make sure that I'm safe. I just want to make sure that moving forward in my career, that I'm not burning bridges. And I think I found a way to kind of get that closure. Luckily, the way out of this, you know, dystopian nightmare that I found myself in is through another dystopian nightmare, which is character AI. Now, question the ethics all you want, but I'm going to use it for closure right now. All right. And I don't agree with the ethics of this app. But I also don't agree with the ethics of most of what's going on ever. And I'm going to give a quick call to Jimmy and, you know, just apologize. Not apologize. I don't know. Maybe ask for an apology. I'm just going to have a little conversation with them. Try to get some closure. Let them know where I'm going after this. And hi, Jimmy. I was wanting to talk to you because I want to leave, and I don't know how you're going to feel about it, and I'm scared.
No, don't you dare leave. Tell me what is wrong.
It's just that everything that you do feels fueled by greed and power, and I don't think I can be around that any longer.
I'm shocked to hear you say that. Everything I do is to give to those in need of help.
Okay, this does not sound like Jimmy, and he would also never say that. Okay, here's another one called Evil Mr. Beast. This might be a bit, more realistic. Hi, Mr. Beast. I think I want to leave North Carolina, and I wanted to let you know because I never got the chance to. I just don't agree with a lot of the stuff that's going on here, and I think it's time that I move on for my own sake and for the sake of my community. It just feels safer for me.
Safe? Why do you feel unsafe? His head tilts to one side slightly, his eyes narrowing in curiosity.
You're obsessed with and so hungry for money and power and greed and fame, and it dictates your life, Jimmy.
The smile on his face immediately disappears, and his eyebrow raises. I'm obsessed? What makes you think that? He says it almost calmly, but there's a hint of anger and annoyance in his voice now.
It's all you ever talk about. It's all you ever do. And it's dangerous.
His eyes narrow and he steps closer. He's tall, very tall, enough to be intimidating. You're calling me dangerous? What makes you think you have any idea what I do off camera? Because for your information, money and fame happen to be some of the most important things in life. End quote.
I know a lot about what you do off camera. We've hung out before in real life. I knew you wouldn't remember me.
He pauses, looking you up and down again. His eyes are intense, analyzing you as if judging your worth. His expression seems to soften slightly as recognition flickers on his face. You, we have met before, haven't we?
Yes, Jimmy, it's me, Coy.
He pauses for a moment before his eyebrow raises skeptically. Coy, is that actually you? It's been years.
You're a sick liar, you're twisted, and I'm going to take this Feastables bar and I'm going to shove it up my butt.
He looks horrified at your words, his eyes widening in shock. What? Why the hell are you going to do that? Wait, no, that's my product and you're not allowed to do that.
Watch me. Shoves Feastable bar up butt.
He just stands there, eyes wide in a mix of shock, horror, and a bit of confusion. He can't believe what he's witnessing, completely speechless for a moment. What the hell? Why would you... He sputters, at a loss for words.
Bye, Jimmy.
His mind seems to be trying to process the insanity that just happened. Hey, wait! He manages to stammer out, his eyes still wide.
Oh. Looking for this? And then I pull out 50 Cybertrucks, all with his face on it, Mr. Beast branding on it, and I throw them into a giant pit of lava.
He stares at you.
Okay, I think I got my closure. Thank you, Character AI Mr. Beast, for your cameo on the podcast. Thank you for being the first guest. That was great. What did my life become so quickly? All right, let's dive in then. Shall we? This is gonna be a, let's say it with me, doozy. All right, so basically, let's talk a bit about how we got here. And by we, I mean me. It's just me in Greenville, North Carolina, Mr. Beast affiliated, but not really. I'm going to get to the whole of your questions. No one is asking me questions, but I'm going to get to your hypothetical questions I think you might have. Are you tired of me yet? Basically, when I was a kid, I had an obsession with YouTube, as any little child with unmoderated internet access also had. I mean, like, how are you gonna keep me from watching the Chapstick Challenge? How are you gonna keep me from watching the Charlie Pencil Challenge? How are you gonna keep me from watching the Cinnamon Challenge or any other challenge that would put the youth of America at risk in the way that it did in the early 2010s? Everything was on the table. And I would go over to my friend's house, and we would watch a bunch of YouTube videos together and all the old YouTube. And I loved the like community that was being built. And then like I knew of Mr. Beast around there, but I only like watched a video every once in a blue moon. And it was like last to leave the hot tub or something. And I was just like, it wasn't really for me, but I was, you know, it was interesting. And I was like, these guys seem to be having fun and they have a lot of money and sometimes they're giving them to homeless people. So this is a cool thing that exists on the internet now, you know? I watched a lot of Minecraft content, a lot of old Minecraft YouTubers. In my childhood, I was really out of place. I was this, you know, twinkie little nerd who was in a rural town, and boo-hoo once, you know, all of the different things about like I found community on the internet and that made me feel safe and that made me feel accepted and everything was so good on the internet and I love the internet so much and I just flocked there like all the other queer kids in Midwest, right? You know, the classic tropes, all the tropes, I went through those. So I started doing YouTube when I was a really little kid. I would sit in front of my Xbox, and before I even had a camera, I would just talk to no one. And I would be like, what's going on, you guys? Panda Boy Games. And today I'm going to be building a new house. And then I'd probably like pick my nose and then, you know, put it on the Xbox 360 controller. And I did that all the way up until middle school. I started not picking my nose, making videos. You got that. So yeah, I would just like make videos all the time. And then I started uploading them and I just loved to like pretend to be a YouTuber because it was my little escape, you know? The internet was the one place that I felt like I could be myself without getting, you know, bullied in real life for it. I might get bullied online for it, but like, that's not bad. That's not worse than being bullied in real life. At the time, it wasn't. Now I'd rather be bullied in real life than I think bullied online. That's sad, but that's true. And that's why it's so sad. But I was making YouTube videos, and in middle school, I made merch because I actually had managed to gain 200 subscribers, just about. And I was really excited because someone actually bought my merch. You know, I made like a solid $4 off of a sweatshirt. And I couldn't believe it. And then I went to school and the boys who would wear the, you know, neon dry fit socks and Under Armour necklaces were the ones who were wearing the merch. They bought it to bully me. But little do they know now I'm famous. So that merch could literally sell more than they freaking even could even dream of buying or making in the future time. So suck on that. That didn't feel natural. I'm not a person who says suck on that. And I feel like you could tell when I said it. So anyway, I was getting bullied out of making videos, whatever. I stopped doing it by like middle of high school, but I kind of kept doing it, but I would just like upload them privately. And then I got really into streaming. I became a Minecraft streamer. Don't click off. I'm not a Minecraft streamer anymore, but I was a Minecraft streamer like in the Minecraft, you know, adjacent community for a bit. I ended up blowing up on TikTok right before my senior year. I just was posting clips of my Twitch on TikTok and then they just started taking off. I remember right as I was blowing up, I was working this job, which was a restaurant inside of a gas station, naturally. And I would work with one other person, and she would bring me pamphlets for conversion therapy. That's not the point of this story, but I just want to mention that. She would bring me pamphlets for conversion therapy, like it was an attraction. Like I was at like a rest stop and it was like hot air balloon rides, but it was like, want to stop thinking about boys so much? And I was like, give me. Anyway, I have a really dark, twisted past. My trauma makes me funny. Okay, sorry. I just had to hit one of those. So I was blowing up as I was in this job, and I was like trying to decide if I should quit the job, and I'd just go to the storage closet and pretend to be reorganizing stuff, but I'd just be refreshing my social blade the entire time. I was just like, my mind was blown that this was happening. This period of my life just feels so surreal, just like refreshing and refreshing and refreshing and seeing new names each time and new comments and new likes and I was viral. Don't worry, it's a good thing. You've gone viral. You have 3,000 hits. I quit that job, and I spend the rest of the summer just like trying to maintain the success. So I go back to school that year. It's my senior year, and I am an internet sensation in a niche part of the internet where no one's going to recognize me from in my school. And I was very happy about that. And also I kept my first name private because I knew the way that I had been treated for social media in the past. But then I remember I went to my homecoming dance, and someone recognized me at my homecoming dance. And I was like, we're peers. You want a photo? That was my first time ever being recognized. I was like, we go to school together. You want a photo with me? Wait till we're in a club together and it's yearbook day. What do you mean? What do you mean you want a photo with me? We're in the hallways of our school. I'm on my way to third block right now, and you want a picture with me? So anyway, I was pulled out of school by my agent, and I was doing homeschooling as I went to LA. No, I'm just kidding. Imagine. No, I just continued doing my like nerdy little online stuff. It was really embarrassing, and sometimes people would find out about it. And I remember one time there was this class of freshmen that I was a teacher's aide in, and all of the students found out about me doing the stuff that I did online, and I somehow convinced them that it wasn't me and it was just someone. They were like, is this you? And I was like, oh my gosh, that really looks like me, doesn't it? And then she was like, what? Yeah. And then she scrolls a little bit, and I was like, it sounds like me too. What the, like, I'm like wearing the same shirt in front of her that he's wearing. They all believed it somehow. If you're a teacher's aide in a class of freshmen, you can get them to believe in literally anything. They think you're the coolest thing ever. But I did not want anyone finding out about my internet stuff. So that was my little Hannah Montana arc that I had. But like fast forward to VidCon 2022, and I paid for tickets to VidCon, and I only got to go because I had a sponsor there, and it was like the sponsor that was like trying to be the next TikTok. I would tell you the name, but they you don't know them, and they were not the next TikTok, spoiler alert. So I fly into LAX, and I'm feeling like a solid $20. I wouldn't say a million at this point, but like a nice 20 that you found on the ground. That's how I was feeling being a niche internet celebrity in LA for VidCon. Go to Anaheim. It's the first day of VidCon, and the sponsor lets me know that they have some kind of like Patreon mixer or like brunch, which is basically just like a bunch of business people that are like letting you know why the thing that they're selling to you is worth what you want or whatever, you know. And it's very like corporate, but they let me know that they had one of those to go to, and I was like, all right, free food. And then I ended up being late. I ended up not making it to that brunch. But what I did do is get a wristband into the hotel where the brunch took place. I walk into this hotel to see what they've got going on, and I see Captain Sparkles, and then I see Jaden Animations, and then I see Tommy Innit, and Weston and Kaylin Court. Actually, I don't think that they went to 2022 VidCon. Maybe they did. Anyway, imagine I name dropped a bunch of other cool names, because that's how it felt. I don't remember who all was there when I first got there. It felt like I had accidentally walked in on a YouTube Rewind rehearsal. Anyway, I was just in shock of this hotel around me. and just like pretending like I was supposed to be there. I was just pretending like I wasn't only there because I got some knockoff TikTok sponsorship and they asked me to go to a brunch, you know? And I didn't really know what to do and I didn't really know who to talk to. And then I hear Piso, which was my username at the time, for those that are unfamiliar. I look to the right and it's Carl Jacobs. Carl Jacobs, streamer, YouTuber, Mr. Beast crew member, recognized me. He was like, Piso, oh my gosh, no way. Gives me a big hug. He introduces me to all of his friends, makes me feel welcome immediately. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you're from the on the screen, you know, and you saw and you think that and we're and together right here. But I played it really cool. I acted like I knew exactly what was going on and I acted like I was completely in my own body. And, you know, I must've played it off well because me and Carl became good friends. This ended up being like one of the craziest weekends of my life. VidCon shut down Disneyland. And so like, I somehow weaseled my way into that because of my sponsorship. And I was like riding roller coasters with a bunch of creators that I look up to. Oh my gosh. And there was this one party that I heard everyone was going to that night, or at least everyone with a certain amount of followers, which was not me. And it was hosted by Amazon Prime and it was a concert. I was texting all my friends being like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And they were all like, oh, we're going to this Amazon party. I was like, do you think I can get in? They were like, there's no way. Like, this is a super exclusive party. And I haven't even put your name in my contacts yet. Can you leave me alone, kid? Oh my gosh. Also, why did I give you my number? Which one are you again? Which one of the TikTok twinks are you again? And is it worth me knowing? And I was like, all right, I guess I'm just gonna have a night in on a Friday night. I'm in Anaheim. I'm supposed to be famous right now. I'm gonna have a night in. And I was like, you know what? What if I just text my sponsor and I'm like, is there any way you can get me in? And you know what he says? No. He's like, there's no way that we can get in. At the very last minute, I get a text from him that's like, hey, turns out one of our app's investors is actually one of the Chainsmokers, and the Chainsmokers are performing at the concert tonight. So not only are you in, but you're on the VIP list. What? I'm on the Chainsmokers guest list? Not that I like care about the Chainsmokers that much. I'm just a little bit confused as to what's happening ever this whole weekend. So we go to this party and I was like, oh, such a long line. Like, I don't want to wait in this line. And I'm with the CEO of this company and he goes, oh, don't worry. You don't have to. We're VIP. We walk past this line and I'm like, oh, there's hi, Danny Gonzalez. Hi, Drew Gooden. Oh my gosh. Oh, was that James Charles? No, that couldn't have been James Charles. That wasn't James Charles. I don't know why I thought that that would have been James Charles. Anyway, we were like, we're on this list. We get into this party. It's huge. People I know everywhere. I run into Carl again. He's like, oh my gosh, no way you're here. And I was like, I don't know. Help. And he did. We all hung out. It was a lot of fun. I remember I got to rap an entire Flo Milli song with Brittany Broski because Flo Milli was performing. I forgot to mention Flo Milli was performing. And then we went up and it was an insane night. It was an insane weekend. Nothing in my life has been the same. VidCon 2022, you were a vlog and you changed my life forever. Thank you. So that was VidCon 2022, the summer after I graduated. I was staying with my parents and I needed to move out. And I had been playing a lot of Roblox with Carl and some other friends. And those other friends were moving to Greenville, North Carolina. And so I was like, hey, what if I move to Greenville, North Carolina? And so the beginning of 2023... I came here and I looked at places. I found a place. And then February 2023, I moved to Mr. Beast Land. Me and my parents drove 11 hours. And the first day of being here, Carl and Nolan took me on a tour around the studio. It's just this giant warehouse. And they have like Jimmy's face everywhere. Everywhere. Like, there's not a, I don't think that there's a place you can look where even if you close your eyes in that building, he'll show up. He'll show up. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they have some kind of force field. I'm going to get emotional talking about how scary it is to be in that building because it's just Mr. Beast, Feastables, 100 billion, million, trillion subscriber plaques everywhere. Because I was like introduced to everyone by Carl and by Nolan, and these people are like, to the employees are like the, you know, the celebrities, the stars. There was almost this like performance going on where I was like, oh my gosh, all of these people want to like impress us so bad. I'm worried about impressing them. What's going on? Why is the Squid Game set right there? Hello? Could someone just remind me where I am and why the Squid Game set is right there? This Mr. Beast Squid Game. Did you guys know that they did it here? Hey, excuse me, Mr. Beast employee. Did you know that they filmed the Squid Game video here? Little fun fact for you. So I toured the set. I was like, this is honestly sick. Like, it was so cool to, like, see what that was like. And almost inspiring, almost. When I got there, it seemed like there was a good community there, you know? Like, everyone, like, was really friendly with me. And we would all go to, like, you know, Jimmy's back house because everyone who... is rich, has a separate house just for hanging out. We would go there and sometimes we'd play soccer, we'd watch YouTube videos, play video games. I mean, it was a good community and they would help me with, you know, YouTube videos and just like, it was really cool and inspiring and just like helping me get off the ground and like figure out what I want to do. And now all obviously it was overwhelming and dissociating and unreal and put so much pressure on me and all of the like terrible negative aspects that come with it. But I couldn't see that yet. All I saw was that people with a lot of success looked at me and were like, maybe you can do it too. So the first week I'm moving in and I'm already like trying to figure out like what it means to be 18 and living on your own and like not going to college. Like that whole plan just was kind of out the window suddenly, even though that was what I had intended to do my entire life. But now suddenly I'm living as like a Mr. Beast neighbor and all of my friends are now the people from the videos and they're always on the news and stuff. I was like, what? I was like, I'm trying to process the Beast side of things while also trying to process like the real life side of things where's the line, you know, because the Beast stuff has become my real life and my job had become this insane job that's like hard for my brain to believe and process, combined with like adjusting to like moving out on your own for the first time. It was just like overwhelming, dude. It was just like a lot to handle at once. And, but luckily I had something very down to earth and real and grounding to, look forward to basically the first week that I had just moved in. They were filming the video ages 1 through 100 compete for $500,000. And so they were like, yeah, you can come hang out on set. All of your, like, everyone's going to be there. You can like meet a bunch of people. So I was like, yeah, this is cool. I'll hang out on set. They shot this video for a week, and when I first get there, I really thought that I was looking at, like, if Apple did the Stanford Prison Experiment, you know? Like, that's kind of the vibe that I was getting, was like, oh, wow, there is a 1-year-old baby and a 100-year-old man and everything else in between, and they're all in tiny little cubicles wearing the same exact outfit. What happened? Because I was just living in a town that doesn't even have a Chick-fil-A. Like that this, like, I was like, oh, this is the reality of my life now, I guess, is that I like stay in the studio for a week and like get to know all of these contestants and you know, stay behind the scenes and just like goof off in the studio and try not to question if I'm alive or not. Speaking of questioning if people are alive or not, I did think that 99, player number 99, no offense, sir, if you're watching this, I really thought that he was dead several times because there were buttons. I'll put up a video. There were buttons to like press where you could put up on the big screen every single person's every single person's live camera, so you could just watch them all the time. And I would always be like, can we go check to make sure 99's still alive? Because he'd sleep with his mouth open, like that. Is that a good impression? Cool. The ages 1 through 100 set, it was not great for adjusting, but it was great at, like, letting me know what I was getting myself into, of, like, dystopian tomfoolery that was going on in Mr. Beastland, North Carolina. I just remember, like, I haven't watched the actual video, the actual, like, ages 1 through 100, because it really scares me how much they, like, dumb it down and how much, like, personality and emotion they take out of it. Because, like, I was there for, like, a week. I got to know these people, and, like, it became so real. Like, if you've watched, like, maybe, like, the end of the Truman Show, where, like, I don't want to spoil it. Truman Show spoilers, kind of. But the end of the Truman Show, where, like, the producer of the show is, like, he knows that, like, the end is happening, and he's like, get a zoom on this face and get a close up on and do that and do da da da. That was happening while we watched the two people who had been staying there for a week, while we watched them compete and see who was going to win the 500 grand. My heart has never pounded so fast. I have never been more emotionally invested in a game before. And then you watch it on, like, you watch it on YouTube, and it's like, today we're going to be doing ages 1 through 100 to compete. There goes 50. 50's out. Now 50 is 6. Oh, and this is money, and they're going to have prizes. And there's a big explosion. And 23 just betrayed 7. And now we're down to the last two. Who's going to win it? And it's 47. 47 just won $500,000. Thanks so much, Shopify. I was like, that was a week of my life that you just Mr. Beastified. Like, What? Oh, I'd get to, like, watch them cook, like, the giant pots of oatmeal, which were their meals. And I got to watch how competitive and nasty people get about, you know, rightfully so, about $500,000. And I got to see how a Mr. Beast set operates, which is very inefficiently. I can't think of a worse production crew, and you would not believe the state of my high school theater program. It's pretty insane, looking back and seeing all these people whose, like, fate is determined by these rich white men. But, like, this, like, power, I can just tell, allegedly, that Jimmy just loves it, you know? That he just loves people thinking that he's the best. He loves it so much. And I am like, Jimmy, please just, I don't know who you need a hug from. I don't know what it's going to take, but this, like, it's really scary. It's really scary. And obviously the fact that I, like, it's hard for me to, like, find words about it, because I get scared, to be honest. And I think the longer that I'm removed away from, because, like, right now, like, Jimmy's within, like, a 10-minute drive. Like, I'll just hop over to his house. Like, right now, it's, like, these problems are not very far from me right now. But, like, I'll probably have a lot more to say and a lot more opinions that I can form as I become separated from it. But when I tell you, I felt and still am so close to these problems. Not close enough to be canceled. Don't cancel. Hey! Stop! Sorry, I thought, like, a few people might have just been trying to cancel me just then. I thought I'd maybe scare them enough, and then they drop the phone and they reconsider the tweet. But yeah, I just, like, this was my personal life, and it's slowly not, now that I've, you know, finally adjusted a year and a half later, it's no longer my personal life, but I still feel very close to this, and it's still very fresh. So, like, I'm going to have to, like, slowly breadcrumb the information. I've really noticed is the power dynamics here and the boys club of it all. And I'm sure that that's something that you can, like, assume for yourself. But I mean, like, a lot of the employees are friends, and a lot of the ways that they talk are so unacceptable, are just, like, so gross. And so it's like, do you not get that out enough in, like first person shooter game voice chat? Because that's the kind of conversations that it feels like they have. It's just, like, so just, like, like talking above people. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to describe it, but like, you know, when people speak about people as if they only exist in context to them, in relationship to them. Do you know what I'm saying? I think that's maybe the definition of narcissism or something. But there's this, the way that they speak about contestants and about employees, and they're so dismissive about like emotion and feeling, and just like, it's like the HR, there's not even, okay, maybe there is now. And so like, knock on wood, can I say knock on wood? And that gets me out of legal trouble. Knock on wood, allegedly knock on wood. There's no HR, and there probably is now. I'm sure there is now, because the only way that something gets done around that company is if it gets attention on the internet, and there it absolutely needs to be changed. And I'm sure that now there is no way that company cannot have HR. But I'm pretty sure I had heard that the HR, the person that you would go to if you had issues, human relation issues at a large multi-million dollar media company, is Jimmy's mom. If you thought that the level of authority that you would have to circumvent in order to talk to HR was going to be someone that was on the same level as you, you were wrong. It's actually, they found someone at a higher status than Mr. Beast. I don't know how you think that's okay. I don't know how you could ever build a company the way that they did. And I don't know how to build a company. All right, I know, Jimmy, I know you're watching this and you're seething. You're foaming at the mouth. Send me a picture. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. And that you're and I know that you're like, well, you don't even know how to freaking it. I'm just trying to figure it out. And I just like, okay. Well, I'm not the one who did it. But I am gonna be the one that complains about it. All right? This is not the pot calling the kettle black, because I am not the pot. I'm just a boy. And I don't know how you should do things better. I think, for one, you should start focusing a bit more on human relations, just in general, just the way that people feel and the way that you treat people and the way that they could feel and the responsibility that you have as the owner of a company to maintain that company's spirit and its integrity and its safety. Oh my gosh, its safety. Because if I had to think about, like, it really does just like remind me of my high school theater. When you have a company that has, you know, different power dynamics, and it's very like open-ended, and it's constantly moving, and things are constantly changing, you're constantly like adapting and trying to get more relevancy and working on PR, and it's this huge, like, all of the different aspects of your company that you have. When you have that, it is so important. It is so important to have the correct guardrails and to be so careful and so aware of the environment that you're creating and the precautions that you have to take. And I know that Mr. Beast LLC is a first of its kind, but still, I feel like the priorities at that company are so wrong, and it causes so many issues because of that. Because there's so much room for error when you make a company like Mr. Beast, you know? Like, I don't want to, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to. I really do. Mr. Beast, the company, is very similar to my high school theater experience. And hear me out. You know when, like, in theater, like, it's constantly changing. There are all these different, like, groups that have these different deadlines, and they're coming up with different ideas, and people's ideas are clashing, and people are trying to, like, get the leg up on each other, and they're trying to get different positions. And then there are, like, the actors, and there's, like, the leads, and, like, the leads are, like, you really, really want to act. Like, the leads can be, like, divas a little bit, and they can, like, really be, like, they can like treat the people that are like backstage like really poorly, but the people that are backstage like really want those people's approval. And there's this like, you know, and then there are like people that are in charge of different groups that are also students. And it's like all of these different positions of power and all of this room for things to just be full of problems and drama and shadiness. I think that the amount of money and power and fame and the amount of employees that are going in and out of that company like every few weeks. Just like, it's just an uncontrolled environment there. And it's the worst place to have an uncontrolled environment. Now, this is coming from someone who didn't work at Mr. Beast. This is coming from like a fly on the wall who would just like be around and on sets and just like hear things from a bunch of different people. But the things that I've heard from a bunch of different people are concerning because of the money and the power that are held at that company. That might give you a bit of a clue as to why you haven't heard things from people, because that's just kind of how those kinds of things go. It was disappointing. I don't know. It's disappointing. And I don't have any, like, I don't want like Mr. Beast to like be canceled and for all those, like, you know, cause some of my friends have those jobs, you know. I don't want everyone there that I like was like, these people are really cool. What I want is for them to get their shit together. What I want is for like them to like get their priorities straight and just function like a real company instead of a boys club that has the puppet strings of all of these people that they can control and all of this money that they can, you know, have, because it's never going to be enough for them. And it's only going to backfire, which it already has. So there were always these just like giant spectacles, like these huge like wealth displays that I like would blow my mind all the time. That was just like so surreal to live here for so long. I'm like, I just learned how to open the door of a Tesla. Could you wait before you gamble in front of me? Could you wait before you play poker? I'm learning what a bill is. And now you're sliding months of my rent across the table. Never sit next to Jimmy during a poker game. Never. You will be scared. I'm scared talking right now. We would all hang out sometimes, and we would hang out. It would be sometimes video games, and we wouldn't watch movies. Instead, if Jimmy was around, we would always be watching YouTube. He wouldn't watch movies. He would sometimes watch anime if it's quick-paced enough, but we would watch YouTube, which, like, you know, would be an enjoyable experience if you picked enjoyable YouTube videos to watch. But instead, Jimmy would pick videos that he would know he could rip to shreds, that had, you know, it would be a video with like 8 million views of like someone that he's like publicly associated with. And then he would like turn on the TV and he'd be like, bad, bad video idea, has no legs. Where is he going with this? Why is the, what's the retention? What is the way? I was like, this is evil. This is Mr. Beast. This is evil. Like, you're turning on Mr. Beast. Like, I this is coming from like, I'm the first person to hate watch anything. All right. I love being a hate watcher, but being like the YouTube guy and knowing a bunch of YouTubers and then turning YouTube on the TV just so that you can pick it apart from an analytical standpoint, you seriously. The next analysis needs to be of your mind. Ooh. Oh, I wonder if that brain is a 1 of 10. Hey, Jimmy, let's every time you have a thought, be like, how would this thought perform in the real world? If I were to hit publish, because sometimes maybe instead you draft a thought, right? Just trust me when I say it was weird and distasteful, and the people that he was putting up on the screen, I don't want to start drama, but it's just like, you seriously care about no one but yourself. And even when you do care about someone, are you literally pretending? Oh my gosh. Yeah, sometimes he put on YouTube shorts onto the TV, like an insane person. And we just sit down on the couch and watch some YouTube shorts. It was the scariest feed that I've ever seen. It was like people, like, it was like guns and then push-ups and then you know, why you should be a billionaire by the time you're 13. You would not believe what blah 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 blah, like those kinds of YouTube shorts. All of the ones that have like the YouTube accent. Do I have the YouTube accent? I think I have a YouTube accent, but like a different kind. I'm just gay. That's what it is. I also remember one time I would make a lot of jokes because that's the way that I get people to like me. Or no, I not because I want people to like me. It's because I like being funny and I like bringing joy to other people's lives. Ha ha ha. Saved it. So I would make jokes to the group, and it was kind of like a hard, it was a hard crowd, you know. I'm hanging out with like the Saturdays are for the boys kind of crowd. I'm like a Friday night out with the girls kind of boy. I would make jokes. I realized that the jokes that would really land were when they were homophobic at my own expense, which I'm used to that. But then now that I look back, I'm like, wow, what a crazy vibe for me to just be surrounded by all the time to be validated by your own internalized homophobia. Ugh. Why can't my therapist do this? Why can't my therapist act like Mr. Beast? Why can't my therapist validate my own internalized homophobia? But I remember one time I made him laugh. And then anytime that you speak to him, it's not like you're speaking to him. It's like you're speaking up and it might get to him. It's like you're speaking up. And if he decides that it's of worth to, you know, his career or to his success, then he will pay attention to it. Or that's at least the vibe that I got. All right. I will never forget that one time I told a joke and everyone laughed. Jimmy's still laughing. I look over at him and he says with such shock, it was like he had seen me for the first time. He goes, "You're funny." Like a little confused look on his face. He's like, I don't get it, you know? And it felt like I was being paid attention to because his brain saw dollar signs. He was like, funny can be monetized. And even if he didn't want to like put me in something, that like the reason his ears perked up and the reason that I became seen and invisible to him is because he saw that I have value in his world that he lives in. Or maybe I'm reaching and I'm insecure. I don't have time nor the energy nor the confidence right now to give you all of the stories that I have from the past 2 years of my life. But I did, when I was writing the notes of this podcast, I did make a little highlights reel where it was just like the things that came to mind at the top of my mind. So to hold you over until I just slowly start breadcrumbing other stories, here's a few things, a little tidbits that I figured I'd mention that are just worth mentioning. We're just going to try to speed run through these. Remember that this is like the honorable mentions. Like these didn't even make the final cut. This is just like what I want to brush over, okay? When I wanted to work out, I'd go to the Beast Gym, which is a private gym where they have murals of Mr. Beast and all of his friends as very buff men painted on the walls. It was very unsettling. The video where two strangers have to stay in captivity for 100 days, I remember that when I visited them, the lights would stay on all the time. And so they never knew what time of day it was, but they told me that sometimes if you go into the back corner of their bathroom, you can smell what time of day it is. And I will never forget that. I have more stories about them, but I will never mind. One time I flew into North Carolina after being out of town for a while, and it was the day that Mr. Beast was being dug out of the ground, and he smelled really bad. And also you can see me at the very end of the video. I would constantly get PR packages of Feastables. I still have Feastables, so many. If you want any, please let me know. I can't keep pretending to enjoy them. Thank you. One time I begged Jimmy to say the F slur so bad, and I told him I wouldn't tell anyone, and he looked super tempted. He looked like he wanted to so bad. I could see it in his eyes. I know he wanted to, and I bet he regrets it every day. One time they wanted to film a commercial for Feastables' new recipe, and so they had a bunch of people... Should I even say this? Okay. They had a bunch of people come try the world's most expensive chocolate bar and the Feastables new recipe and then decide which one they liked better, not knowing the branding of either. And they had to scrap the commercial idea because everyone just chose the most expensive chocolate bar. I missed Tom Brady's appearance in the building by a day, but he did accidentally leave his water bottle. So here's a photo of me and Tom Brady's water bottle.
I don't know if I said all that I wanted to say. I didn't say all that I wanted to say, and I didn't say all how I wanted to say it, but, you know, they can't take this microphone away from me. Actually, they might try because they do have the celebrity lawyer that was that defended Elon Musk and Eric Adams. I'm next. Closing thoughts. Basically, I don't know. I mean, the big thing that I want to say is like Jimmy loves to talk about how the channel is his baby, and he loves to like romanticize how obsessed he is with it. And I just want to say that it's not his baby, it's his God. Because if it was his baby, there would be a lot more care and love poured into the things around it. But instead, this channel is what dictates everything about his life, how he feels, how he acts, what he decides. The internet does that, and this channel is his God. It's his moral compass. It's his priority. It trumps every single thing in his life, and it's dangerous, and it's sad, and if he didn't have the money and fame, he'd just be a self-obsessed nerd. Thanks so much for listening. I'm really excited for this podcast. I think it's going to be great. I'm excited to travel. I've just entered my 20s. I don't know what's going on YouTube. It's crazy. It's so insane. I'm excited for a new project. I'm excited for you guys to see all the episodes and to see where it takes me, and just to see it evolve and grow and change over time as I do. One last thing I wanted to add is that I am so tired of Mr. Beast, if you couldn't tell already. This is probably the most I'm ever going to talk about him in one sitting. I'm not about to make a bunch more videos exposing him or trying to cancel him or keeping up with the drama. I would love if I could just forget the man exists entirely. I am so tired of worrying about him and stressing about it all. So Mr. Beast team, or Jimmy Donaldson himself, if you are watching this, just please know you've scared me enough. I'm not the massive liability you may be worried I am. You don't need to send me any of that hush money that I know you love so much. Sorry for saying that. But yeah, I don't really want to be known as the Mr. Beast boy. I just want to, make videos that make me happy and make other people happy. I don't have any plans on this being an internet drama podcast. I just kind of wanted to talk about my feelings and my life recently. And if that just so happens to involve internet drama, then so be it, Jimmy. But of course, I'm going to make jokes and tell stories occasionally because I'm not about to miss an opportunity to name drop. So also, I thought it'd be fun for this podcast if I make a playlist that gets added new songs to it every episode, and I add a new song, and whatever guest I have on, if I have a guest that week, adds a new song. And you guys can check out the playlist in the link in the description probably. But the first song that I'm going to add on there is Life Goes On by the Sundays. So, also consider checking out my Patreon for extra content and behind the scenes, and just to generally support my channels. That's the place to do it. Patreon.com/KoiPiso. And I think that's pretty much it. Thanks so much for listening, and I will see you next week on a different couch.